Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com. Playoff weekend in Philadelphia. Yes, my friends, the Philadelphia Eagles are ready to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday. Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Good to be here, J-Doc. Another great show lined up for our listening audience. And every week when you go one-on-one with one of our labor leaders, it always takes a different twist and turn. But I love sitting back as part of the audience, just consuming the conversation.
Well, I appreciate it, Joe. And certainly, first of all, you mentioned the Eagles in playoff weekend. Well, those are union workers, right?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And a member, a proud member of the AFL-CIO. So good stuff.
Yeah, we're advocating on behalf of them. And we're also saying some prayers, of course, that they get the big W on Monday night. So, but having said that, yeah, we do have a great show. And we've had Vince Tarducci, who's the national business agent, America Postal Workers Union, on many times when he was the president of the local branch. We have Vince on again, and then we have James DeRitter. He's making his debut on the Labor Show. Certainly, he's the president now of the APWU, the American Postal Workers Union, Local 7048, which is the local branch. And I'll tell you, when we talk about their members, okay, you're talking frontline workers. These individuals are out there doing the job, come rain or shine. Okay, they're taking care of our mail like there's no tomorrow. And what they've had to do in the face of such difficult circumstances, obviously they deal with the public on a daily basis, and they deal with a lot of really precious cargo that we deal with. That is so important to us. But you want to talk about individuals that go through a lot. Vince has been on. We've talked about so many issues. I remember, and I know you'll remember, the issue where they were funding. It was their responsibility, okay, the postal workers, to fund the benefits. I think it was 50 to 60 years in advance.
I do remember we did not a full show, but we did spend a lot of time on just that topic alone.
Well, today we're bringing Vince and James on the program, and they're going to talk about another situation where there's a proposal from our Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, who Trump brought in. Okay, and this guy is an anti-union guy. Would love to privatize the post office. So they're proposing that they take a process where so the mail is delivered to a local, post office, and then they send it potentially 100 miles away to get processed. Then they send it back 100 miles to the same post office for delivery. Now the post office, they work hard and they go through a lot as it is. But could you imagine what the general public is going to go through? Okay, you know how many delays? Okay, that's going to cause. The general public, and not to mention the scrutiny that the post office workers are going to take as a result of it. So we're going to talk about that. Okay, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. Talk about a We Won't Be Silenced movement. Okay, it's an activist movement within the postal workers union, and so there's so much we're going to talk about, Joe. And I'm so excited to have Vince and James on the program, and they're just great people, and they do a great job representing their members.
Yeah, good stuff, Jay Dock. And at the very end of the show, when I get an opportunity to return back for the closing segment, I'll share with you, if I've never had, and if I have, it'll be repetitive, but I'll share with you when I fell in love with the post office. I'll tell you that story at the end of the broadcast. This is The Labor Show with Jay Dock and Krause. We'll get started on the other side of the break. Back in a moment.
District Council 33 President Ernest Garrett and the entire executive board would like to thank you, the members of APSME DC 33. Their mission is simple. They consistently fight for and secure the best wages, benefits, and working conditions for members. And they stand ready in support of public service workers' rights and benefits and hold politicians accountable for their actions. District Council 33, Ernest Garrett, President.
Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, business manager.
This is Wendell Young, president of UFCW Local 1776.
We proudly represent nearly 35,000 members who serve their communities at meatpacking and food processing plants, nursing homes, manufacturing plants, grocery stores, our fine wine and good spirit stores, and in the medical cannabis industry, among others. Our members earn fair wages and good benefits. We give workers a voice in their workplace. To learn more about our union, please visit UFCW1776.org.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
All right, welcome back to The Labor Show with Jay Dock and Krause. Like we talked about in the first segment, great show we've got planned. I'm ecstatic to bring into the broadcast someone who's no stranger to the show, Vince Tarducci, National Business Agent, American Postal Workers Union. Vince, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great today, even though it's a weathery day, Joe, but I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, you're no stranger to the broadcast, and we have lots of interesting things we're going to talk about, which we're covering a decent amount of topics that are related to things we've talked about for a long time. So I'm excited about that. Also excited to introduce to the audience James DeRitter, who's the president of the APWU, American Postal Workers Union, Local 7048. James, how are you, sir?
Very good. Nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you today. How you doing?
We're good, man. And it's a pleasure to have you. What I'd like to do, I want to set up the context for the listeners, if you would, Vince, because so many people have an idea of what our postal workers are, and everybody thinks of just mail carriers. Who do you guys represent? Which workers?
Yeah, the American Postal Workers Union represents every clerk craft employee. People know them as our window clerks. They're the people that work inside, process the mail. We represent every maintenance craft employee. They deal with the machines, maintain them. We have labor custodians that clean around the facilities. And all our drivers, the motor vehicle service drivers, and we also have support services. So we make up about 200,000 postal employees that we represent.
And so, Vince, as a national business agent, Because, you know, obviously, it's interesting because there are so many different titles in labor, okay? And in the building trade unions, you have a business manager, not a president. And a lot of the public unions, we have presidents. Of course, there's no business managers. But business agents, that is a term that's somewhat common, but different responsibilities. What is your responsibility as a national business agent?
Yeah, in my particular office, I'm one of three national business agent clerk representatives. They call it the Philadelphia region. However, we represent three states, the whole state of New Jersey, for the most part, except for Upper North, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And our responsibility, we handle arbitration hearings. We handle a lot of grievances with our counterparts that are filed in the clerkcraft. We do teaching seminars. We go to meetings at times. Getting a lot of Zoom calls. I'm into my third term, Joe, formerly the president of Local 7048. So that's basically the job that we handle. We take a lot of phone calls, as you can imagine.
And you know, it's interesting because and in your capacity as the former president, which James is now, talk about. So how did the pandemic impact? So you represent three states and several thousand workers. How did the pandemic and say, for example, Zoom and different types of communications impact what you do on a daily basis?
Well, we became Zoom experts, I can tell you that. I remember waking up, you know, in March, realizing that we were no longer allowed to go into our office. A lot of measures had to go into place, how to get our grievance files. Somebody would go in the office and scan them and get them to us. Everything was done by phone. However, our postal employees, Joe, and I may have been on your program before, were essential workers, and they went to work every day to make sure that the mail got processed. Granted, along the way, some of them had gotten COVID. Fortunately, there were some bills in hand there that would cover the cost of their salaries over a period of time. But the pandemic was difficult for us. I know my wife worked about 12 hours a day. She's a postal worker. So we made sure the mail got out because they said we were essential and we believed it. And we made sure that the motto got carried.
And it's interesting because I bring it up because of how you and the workforce have and the leadership has pivoted. Okay. And being frontline workers, you know, you talk about the brave heroes and all those things. Well, the word hero took a different form, okay? And in a sense, people that we, you know, see every day who came into work, people did not know what, you know, what was coming in their direction. And yet the mail still got where it got. We still got it on a daily basis. And our leadership and our postal workers did a phenomenal job. I say that because typically we're going to, we're dealing a lot of times with strife and situations where certainly our workers are often unappreciated on a daily basis. And people, some people have a short memory in regards to who was coming to work every day and frontline workers. Let me, James, if you would, you're primary responsibility on the local level in, by the way, like Vince just said, in the job that Vince used to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty much responsible for attending labor management meetings, safety and health, joint safety and health labor management meetings, overseeing all the grievance activity, all the craft directors that, you know, oversee grievance activity in the administration of grievance activity, I should say, through all three crafts that we represent at the Philly, under our local at the Philly BMC, Local 7048, which is clerk, maintenance, and motor vehicle services. We're on committees, the chair all committees.
How many workers do you represent, if you would, in your local?
Roughly 548.
Okay, so having said that, I mean, you know, that's a nice workforce in Philadelphia, and you know, so if people can or listen, you know, just picture that on a regional level, okay? And, of course, nationally, a lot of these issues are impacting, you know, our not only our workforce, our American postal workers, but and naturally it trickles down to the public, okay? The service that we deserve on a daily basis. So let's get into the issues right now. We've established, obviously, the great job that our postal workers do on a daily basis, okay, across the board, as frontline workers, okay, you know, a lot, you know, talk about in you know, the way that the weather is today. Well, my mail's getting delivered, okay, and our workforce is out there doing the job, even in the most difficult circumstances. So, Vince, if you would, let's talk about the United States Postal Service's Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, and we've talked about this guy, you know, since 2020 when he got in, because he's certainly no friend, you know, to labor. Okay, pro privatization, all those things. Before we get into that, though, let's talk about his 10-year plan.
Yeah, and you made me think, Joe, when you asked about the pandemic, and I need to just remind the listeners how vital postal employees were during the 2020 presidential election and all the congressional elections that were going on, that we made sure all those mail-in ballots were processed and went through. And at one point, DeJoy wanted to kind of slow that down, and APW and the other unions fought hard. We had a bunch of press conferences. And though we didn't really analyze his 10-year plan, and when I'm done chatting about this portion, I'm going to turn it over to James, who looked over the 10-year plan a little thoroughly. But there were some good things in that 10-year plan from postal reform that was signed off in April of last year by President Biden. But we're starting to see some of the problems that are occurring in this plan. And truthfully, we think it's time to scrap the 10-year plan and scrap the Postmaster General based on how it's affecting the people's post office. And that's concerning on all parts.
Now, I'm assuming that Postmaster General DeJoy is a frontline employee out there delivering the mail every day. Oh, no, I'm mistaken there. Okay.
Yeah, I think just a little. Yeah, he's up in the ivory towers. His concern right now is what's going on nationwide with this 10-year plan affecting many, many pockets of the country. And we went to one of these public meetings they had, and we'll get to that, but we learned firsthand of how this is affecting people in different areas of the country.
So, James, if you would, let's kind of dissect it a little bit. What's this plan about?
So the 10-year plan... The 10-year plan, in my opinion, I think it's a manipulation of the laws that were passed. I know Vince spoke with you on the past show about the Postal Reform Act of 2022. Two of the things the Postal Reform Act of 2022 gave was it guarantees a six-day delivery and added transparency to the USPS. So, that being said, after that law passed, DeJoy comes up and the Board of Governors comes up with this 10-year plan where they review, you know, the service standards or the inadequacies of the service standards currently going on with the Postal Service. And one of the things they looked at was air transportation. They claim that the air transportation is unreliable. It's a third party. The Postal Service doesn't own any airplanes. That being said, DeJoy, as a trucking company who has stakes in contracts vested in through the USPS, when he got appointed in there, $5 million contract awarded right away as Postmaster General. So how is eliminating air mail, for one, going to maintain those three-day delivery standards for priority mail when you're still expected to deliver thousands of miles across the country?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I this guy's a businessman. You don't think there's enough qualified individuals from within? Okay, now I don't know how it works, but you would think the Postmaster General would come from within the organization, somebody who has intimate knowledge on it, not a businessman who could benefit from exactly what's going on. You're saying a major contract his organization got, I mean, that that stinks of epic proportions. Why would they hire a businessman? By the way, I got nothing against businessmen, and a lot, you know, and obviously, just because we're pro labor, like, we need our contractors to be, you know, and we appreciate them going union and all those things. And so it's not a, you know, it's not an anti-business statement, but at the same time, why would they not hire from within? Vince, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, number, he was appointed by President Trump, who without a doubt would love to see the Postal Service privatized. He hasn't hidden that one iota. And I need to remind people that we're called the United States Postal Service. And I've told you in the past, and I'll remind our listeners, we deliver to every household in the country. Okay, we can't say no. We deliver everywhere where the private companies say, no, we don't go there. We don't have to go there. We provide a service to the American public. This is a people's postal service. We think it was ridiculous that DeJoy was hired as the Postmaster General. And I guess I was naive, Joe. I thought he'd be gone by now.
You and I both had that. We had that conversation, especially, obviously, with the, you know, new administration. You would have think this cat would have been, you know, casualty number one on the job front. Somehow, he has withstood this, the change in administrations. Just cannot imagine how. But we're on the same page here. Now let's talk about this guy in the sense that he's, you know, we've touched on it. He's been pro privatization. Okay, you know, not friendly to labor. I'm not seeing where, you know, there, you know, this guy cares about that. You know, the people that have built this company, the people that have this organization, and the people who have stood on the front lines and served on the front lines when they didn't know if they not only would have jobs, but also at a risk to their health. Talk about that background, okay, and his anti-labor and pro-privatization background.
Well, it came with no secret. We did some research when he was appointed as the Postmaster General. James has touched on, you know, with the profit he's making there. It's just unethical, like you said. And to kind of touch on the situation where why hasn't he been replaced? Well, in December of this past year, Joe, two of former President Trump's appointees on the Board of Governors, their term ended. They had a 1-year extension. Right. They are gone. So there's two vacancies right now.
Right.
And there's a push for those two vacancies. And James can touch on who they're trying to see appointed from a labor-friendly standpoint and for people who care about the United States Postal Service. We need President Biden to act and make those appointees on the Board of Governors, because perhaps with a full board, maybe things can go the way the Postal Service needs to go.
James, if you would.
Yeah, it's the Save the Post Office Coalition has called on President Biden to nominate former Representative Brenda Lawrence and a policy expert individual named Sarah Anderson to the USPS Board of Governors. They're friendly to labor. I mean, it would be the perfect move for that, joining with former attorney for the APWU, who's on the Board of Governors by the name of Anton Hajar.
And these individuals understand the industry, they understand the workforce, they care about workers in general, and they appreciate the incredible hard work that our workforce is doing out there. When is there a deadline when the vacancies have to be filled?
Unfortunately, not, and we've seen this in the past. And one of the names that James mentioned, Brenda Lawrence, used to be a postal employee. She went high up to the ranks and became a congresswoman in the Detroit district. She actually swore in our national officers last year, so we got to meet her. She knows the background of the Postal Service. She cares about it. She came through it. She worked there 30 years. So we believe they need to be filled. Hopefully pressure will be put on the President of the United States to do the right thing and fill these positions. You're supposed to have a full board. So December 8th, they stepped down because they had to. It's now January 9th. So a month has elapsed. Hopefully something's going on. There is a Board of Governors meeting. We'll get to that February 8th. Perhaps maybe there we'll hear something.
So let's do this. Okay, let's take a quick break. Okay, and then we'll come back and get into the other topics that we're going to discuss. So important. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show. in just a minute.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com. Hey everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community.
Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor Show with Jay Dock and Krause on the Jacob Media Network. A fascinating conversation with Vince Tarducci, National Business Agent, American Postal Workers Union, and James DeRitter, who's the president, American Postal Workers Union, Local 7048, which is used to be the union that Vince also ran and was the president of, and certainly, we've been having a conversation. We talk about the postal work, the Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, who we've talked about many times, on a very anti-union individual who's not really, really conscious or appreciative of our workforce. Let's get into the Postal Service is currently conducting mail processing facility reviews nationwide. Vince, touch on that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. They used to be called area mail processing studies, so to speak. Came right out of one of our handbooks and manuals. So the Postal Service changed it up and called them mail processing facility reviews, which we believe is the same thing. They may believe that it doesn't allow them to do things contractually anymore. So all throughout the country, we started seeing letters sent where they were doing these mail processing facility reviews, from Pennsylvania, Jersey, all throughout the United States of America. And we have locals in our jurisdiction. I represent the three states, as I mentioned earlier, and our business agents traveled to different areas. They had one in Wilmington, Delaware, Trenton, New Jersey, Lehigh Valley area, and we made sure through discussions that we would bring out as many people as we can, businessmen, customers, so they can at least explain to them why this plan was destined to fail. So me and James did travel to the Lehigh Valley area November 30th. They rented a part of a movie theater, the Postal Service. They did some type of dog and pony show, but they opened it up for questions, and we kind of got involved in that. Andy Kubat, who's the president of the Lehigh Valley area local, did a great job of getting notifications out there to businesses. Now, granted, the Postal Service does these business reviews at 3 o'clock in the afternoon while everybody's working.
Right.
So we think right there, they really don't want to hear what people have to say. But thanks to the unions that were involved, we brought a lot of people out. We had made our arguments why it should be, dropped and they should not do this. And Andy Kubat did a great job. And I think I may have sent you that, Joe, where this USPS network plan has like a 7-step process. And using Lehigh Valley as an example, the people who live in that area, who are mailing things in that area, their mail would then have to go all the way to Harrisburg, get processed, meaning trucks would have to travel through traffic, and then come all the way back and be delivered in Lehigh Valley. If anybody tells me with a straight face that that's efficient, then they're trying to sell you something that they're not supposed to. This is a ridiculous plan, not just happening in Lehigh Valley, it's happening all over the country, and we are exposing them. That's our job, to make sure that the public realizes this is a bad thing for them.
Right, and so let's focus on that, okay? First of all, didn't we talk about earlier, we'll get into the public being silenced, you know, and you know, what is going on, okay? But let's talk about this unbelievable transportation. I mean, efficiency is so important, okay? The post office has competition, okay? And, you know, we have a rich history of great work and individuals that are just passionate about what they do and serve the general public on a daily basis. I'm looking for my notes here, but let's talk about that that proposal. It's like a network plan, right? It's where they're they're shipping the mail, so far out of the way, okay, that and only to deliver it back into the same areas, which there's no way, like we talked about, that can possibly be efficient.
Absolutely, Joe. And on top of that, the local union who was gaining that mail was at the public meeting and said, I'm not even sure we can handle that influx of mail that should never come to Harrisburg in the first place. Keep it where it belongs, process it where it belongs, and make sure that people get their mail in a timely manner. Right now, we're getting horror stories taking 4, 5, 6 days for first-class mail to go when it used to get there the next day. And this is all thanks to the Postmaster General's 10-year plan.
Okay, so, the United States Postal Service is proposing to improve, and that's quotes around that, mail service by shipping all mail, okay, originating in the Lehigh Valley and in the Poconos, for example, to Harrisburg for processing. Okay, the sorted mail would then be sent back to the Lehigh Valley for additional processing and delivery. Now, to me personally, I'm in the Twilight Zone, okay? I mean, it's almost like, they have a review process. It's almost like they're setting up our workforce for failure because there's no way that could be more efficient and more time efficient or more timely than processing the mail where it's going to be delivered. Does that make sense, James?
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it to you like this. If you live in Philadelphia, would you drive up to Brooklyn and back just to go grocery shopping in Philadelphia?
And let's not forget, this is a business where people need their mail, just like they need their food, okay? I mean, yeah. Could you imagine if you made people? Let's make it mandatory. You're not allowed to go to the market in your neighborhood. You got to go to Brooklyn to get your food and then bring it back to me personally. Or if you took another analogy, imagine if the food had to be processed and inspected so it gets delivered to Philly, okay, inspected and processed and delivered up to Brooklyn and back, the food would be bad, okay?
Yeah.
Now you have time sensitive, people have bills, people have all kinds of things. To me, it's a total disrespect to the general public. James, in your, with the individuals locally, what is the reaction to the workforce?
Right now, we're kind of in a bubble overall with our members. We haven't seen any negativity. If anything, we would be one of these facilities as of right now that it seems like that we would be gaining stuff with it, gaining the mail from what it looks like. However, I think it's important regardless to make sure that we support our fellow union brothers and sisters from other locals and support them. Because just because you think it can't happen to you doesn't mean it won't. I mean, it's only a matter of time before it all trickles down.
Well, and I appreciate that disposition, because let's not forget, say it's people in Pittsburgh or an area where the mail's getting delivered to be processed in Philly. I mean, that general public out there, they have to be shaking their heads, and the way you're talking about it and having empathy for the other workers and of course the public, man, that's just, I appreciate what your sentiments and the empathy, but man, how bad, how difficult is it going to be when people are getting mail 3-4 days late? Vince, you were going to say something?
Yeah, well, at the public meeting, one of the mail handler representatives talked about a birthday card that he mailed in the Lehigh Valley area that was only going, whatever, a couple miles away, and it took X amount of days. He said, I could have walked and delivered faster than their system of taking it. And Andy Kubat does a great job and quoted in the Allentown Morning Call, where he says the most obvious concern is the plan to unnecessarily drive mail more than 150 miles on clogged highways, only to bring some of it back to the valley. If you live in the Lehigh Valley, you know how congested Route 22 and 78 are throughout the day with slowdowns and traffic jams. Yet we are told to believe that sending mail to Harrisburg for processing will be quicker than keeping the mail here in the valley. Even if we consider only the basic premise of the plan, the promise of speedier delivery achieved by driving the mail across the state does not seem plausible, quote unquote. So this is happening everywhere, Joe, just not in this area. Some areas are gaining, some are losing. But the public is the one really losing.
For right now, okay. But then what happens? When you get massive, outcry from the public, and they decide, I'm not going to use the postal workers, the post office, because it's too much of a delay. Okay, at that point, then this could impact our entire. And by the way, one of the crazy things about this is, a lot of our general public won't even get won't even find out about this. They'll just think it's an issue with the postal workers, and of course they'll go try to use some other form of delivery, and then it ultimately hurts the workforce. Is that accurate?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They'll spin it whatever they want to spin it, but the public, unless we make them aware of what's going on and have them make sure that their cries are heard.
Right.
And I was proud to hear that when I was at the public meeting in Lehigh Valley. But, yeah, they'll find a way to blame the worker. And there's one other thing I'm looking at here on transportation delays that's really going to make things even more delayed. James, can you touch on that?
Yeah. Part of the 10 years plan is optimizing collections or optimized collections.
Okay.
Where it's one pickup in the morning and where the incoming mail arrives, and then after any mail coming in afterwards, after that past pickup time, it's going to be delayed until the next day.
Okay. Which,
so figure out where that mail's going, Joe. It's going to wait a whole day when people count on it to be delivered.
Yeah. So to take Lehigh Valley in Harrisburg for an example, which Vince was just talking about, was that mail is going to be traveling 3 hours to Harrisburg, where the local president had said, we don't know if we can process this mail. We can handle the influx of this type of mail. Now you're looking at multiple days for this type of mail that could potentially just be delayed when it should have been processed were originated from to begin with.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a failure by design in a sense. It's they're trying to fail. Okay, that they're destined to fail on purpose. Okay, it reminds me, Vince, of something you and I talked about a long time, and that was when they were funding the retirement benefits for postal employees that 75 years in advance or 50s, whatever it was, a lot, you know, most of them weren't even born yet, and now we're funding. And so these ridiculous, okay, policies and procedures are doing nothing but hurting the general public and the workforce that's out there on the front lines on a daily basis. There's no logic behind it, and, you know, it's flat out confusing.
And Joe, that was the one good thing that really came out of postal reform, that we put an end to that nonsense.
Yep.
And obviously I talked on the show about that. It made no sense. It just took too long, but it was finally done. But now we're seeing, I guess, the quid pro quo of some of this stuff that happens when you sign things into law.
So let's do this, okay? I want to talk about the we won't be silenced. We got about 5 minutes left. We won't be silenced movement. Okay, and Vince, you're you know, excited about this. Okay, it's an important topic. If you would, Vince, lead off on that.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line: a number of postal employees had enough. They started this as a grassroots movement. We start getting correspondence on getting on, and they started actually right after Christmas, which didn't get a whole lot of Zoom folks. I got on January 3rd, listened, I was impressed. They had somebody that took the bull by the horns, and they're leading up to the February 8th Board of Governors meeting. They'll have people have some transportation there. We did that in May. We had bus trips that went there, and we marched around L'Enfant Plaza, which is the Postal Service's headquarters. And their biggest concern here is how they are silencing the public. There's a draft letter that's now being sent out. I'm going to turn it over to James to touch on that, but they're stopping public opinion at these Board of Governor meetings for at least a year.
Yeah, what's going on is every time there's at the end of a session of a Board of Governors meeting, the public is given ample amount of time, it used to be 3 minutes, to speak and raise concerns to, you know, the Postmaster General, and so on. So it went from 3 minutes to 90 seconds to 25 seconds.
Oh.
So the last time they had a meeting, they gave us 25 seconds to ask a question or raise a concern to the Postmaster. Now it's been decided, as from last year, that there will be no public comment until November of 2024.
So they're bringing in these ridiculous backwards policies, okay, and procedures, and now they don't want anybody to have anything, the general public to have anything to say about it.
Okay. Absolutely.
I mean, is that by design or what? I'm not asking that question. That's sarcasm. Okay.
No, yeah. I mean, it's an unconstitutional dismemberment of the United States Postal Service is what's going on.
Okay. And to me, but this We Won't Be Silenced movement, okay, you know, it is impressive, okay, and it's great to see, you know, that our postal workers are, you know, are getting, you know, heavily involved in the activism, because somebody's got to speak, and if they're not letting the public speak right now, our workforce has to do it, and I'm so happy about that. Vince, we got about a minute and a half left. You know, I know you're excited about that, you know, about the movement. Some closing words on that.
Yeah, well, like I said, I love seeing things grassroots movement. And I went on and I listened. I didn't speak. I listened because, you know, once you have maybe national officers start getting involved with something from the grassroots and maybe they don't want to get involved and talk, I'm real excited about their plan. And they're not just asking for postal workers, Joe. Mm-hmm. The program I was on, and I'm going to send you the link to get on, if you could pass it on,
yep,
to customers, because we're all postal customers. They want to hear from postal customers. They want to hear from businesses. It's just not the American Postal Workers Union, the Letter Carriers Union, mail handlers. They want to hear from everybody. I want to see this grow because, you know, this might be our last chance to save the Postal Service.
Yeah,
because if Postmaster General DeJoy has any plans to continue with this 10-year ridiculous plan,
yeah,
it's going to put us, you know, down the tube, so to speak.
Vince Tarducci, National Business Agent, American Postal Workers Union, and James the Ritter, President of the American Postal Workers Union, Local 7048. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being on the broadcast. You know, we're a platform for for you guys and your members, and we appreciate what the postal workers do on a daily basis. It really helps make up our way of life, okay? And it's quite obvious that leadership there, and I mean, you know, from the Postmaster General, does not have the best intentions, not only for the workforce, the appreciation for the workforce and the intentions, or the general public, okay? And so we appreciate everything you guys do, and I can't tell you how much, we want to be here for you as a platform. Vince?
Thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity.
Yep, thanks, Joe. Nice to talk to you.
You got it, James. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. We'll have more from the Labor Show in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, business manager.
Hey everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community.
And back here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, just a couple of minutes left on this edition of the Labor Show. As promised, J-Doc, when did Krause fall in love with the post office?
I can't wait to hear it.
J-Doc, I was a casual for a summer in the Ballack-Kinwood post office.
And really?
I carried every single day. So from sorting the mail by route, from first class to bulk, I had a full education and tutorial. Yes. And then spent my days carrying. Now, the Ballack-Kinwood Post Office serves Belmont Hills, and that entire part of Montgomery County. So walking all those hills and all those flights of steps and all that stuff. But man, I got to tell you, I enjoyed it so much. So that's my quick story or my quick experience with the post office.
And so you, like I said, had a greater appreciation for what our postal workers do on a daily basis. And having said that, and that's an awesome story, Joe, I did not know that. I want to thank Vince Tardici, National Business Agent, American Postal Workers Union, and of course, James DeRitter, who made his labor show debut APWU Local 7048 here in Philadelphia. They both did a fantastic job, do a great job advocating on behalf of their members. And hopefully, you know, the general public will take a listen to what's going on there. And obviously, you know, we'll speak out because these people do such a good job. They're too good to go through what they're going through on a daily basis with the Postmaster General. And, you know, we appreciate them coming on the broadcast.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 30 seconds left, J-Doc. Just, and I don't want to minimize the announcement, but I would love for you to at least reference to the listening audience another Legends of Labor celebration, two actually, coming up in within the next 4 weeks.
That's right, Joe. And we're actually doing the broadcast. So we have Robert Heenan, who is Bobby Heenan, who is actually not the electrician or the politician, but Robert T. Heenan, who was the head of the operators union for over 30 years. Certainly Local 542, a legend, no question about it, where his induction is on Friday night, the 2nd of February. And then, you know, we have on Saturday, the very next day, we have the opportunity to induct Nate Sabir, who's a legend, who was a secretary treasurer of Local 332. And so that's going to be a fantastic induction. And at the same time, it's the first time we're ever doing two inductions at the same place. Buddy Osborne, who's our Friends of Labor honoree. He's the founder of Rock Ministries, but also the chaplain at the Philadelphia Building Trade. So these are just incredible people. Nate Sabir is going in posthumously, and so is Robert Heenan. It's fitting to honor them, and their families will all be there, and the members of the union. And then Buddy Osborne will actually be there. So absolutely can't wait, man. It's going to be a great event. And then both events will air later during the month. They'll air on the broadcast as a special labor show. So can't wait, y'all.
Yeah, great stuff. That's going to do it for this edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. We thank everybody for tuning in for another week. Year number 10, The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. On behalf of J-Doc, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
This is Wendell Young, president of UFCW Local 1776.
We proudly represent nearly 35,000 members who serve their communities at meatpacking and food processing plants, nursing homes, manufacturing plants, grocery stores, our fine wine and good spirit stores, and in the medical cannabis industry, among others. Our members earn fair wages and good benefits. We give workers a voice in their workplace. To learn more about our union, please visit UFCW1776.org.
Hey everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.